Hello and welcome to the HMEB podcast. I'm your host, David Cuff, the executive editor of HME Business, your source for news, trends, and insights into the home medical equipment industry. HME providers have spent the last 10, 15 years adding a ton of automation to their workflows. But at the end of the day, they still have to have a human element in the process. And that means hiring personnel. And that can get expensive. Here to talk about how providers can get past the high cost of HME human resources is Todd Usher. Todd's the co-founder of Tactical Back Office. Todd, how you doing?
Good morning. Thank you. Fine.
Well,
how about yourself?
I am doing great. Welcome to the podcast. Let's dive in. Tactical Back Office has taken kind of a unique take on serving HME personnel needs through remote personnel. Todd, why don't you kind of give me a description of this service? What are you guys exactly offering?
We have a Philippine call center that we utilize to offer to other clients for their labor needs. And these folks have been trained on different aspects of the DME business and how to successfully achieve certain KPIs. And so we've feel it's a good alternative with the rising cost of labor in the United States to look at offshore personnel for your labor needs.
And just to be clear, this isn't like outsourcing. These people work for the provider. Is that correct?
That's correct. If you think of a staffing agency, it's along the same lines. You hire these folks and they are yours 40 hours a week, 168 hours a month, full-time all year. And we are the access point for these personnel to work for you. And so we absorb a lot of the human resource costs of training them and the day-to-day PTO requests and things like that. All you do is utilize the personnel for what you need them for.
It's almost like you guys are sort of an HR service agency.
That would be correct.
So, okay, this is really interesting. Todd, I got to ask, how did you come to this? This is something that's really different.
Well, we also own a HME company as well as a sleep lab. And when the rural rollout occurred, we had a decision to make. Do we want to close up shop or do we want to keep fighting? We've already put a lot of automation in our processes, but it just didn't seem to give us the bulk savings that we needed to absorb those lower reimbursement rates. So we eventually, through a friend of a friend and some networking, found our way to the Philippines and hired our first employee of December of 16. And it was so successful. We hired our second employee in January and kind of went on from there. And that literally saved our business from closing in 2017.
Wow. this really can be a real difference maker.
Absolutely. And with the rising cost of labor throughout the country, regardless of what coast or in the middle, it's workman's comp and minimum wage and the whole sea level rises but the reimbursement isn't going in the same direction. I go to my local fast food joint and they're raising the prices of burgers, but I can't raise the price of a Walker.
This is a problem that's really universal to all providers then, declining reimbursements, but increasing paycheck needs, something's got to give.
Not just DME. I mean, home health, skilled nursing, rehabs, it's across the line that, the rising costs of doing business are just squeezing out any margins that we have left.
So, we've said that it differs from outsourcing. Maybe go a little bit further into that. How is this different? I guess this person works for the provider, basically.
Yes. Yeah, so there's a billing agency that's pretty prominent in our industry, but it's never quite like having your own personnel. So this is not offshoring or necessarily hiring out for a service. This is bringing staff in to work for you exclusively, nobody else. So you get to train them after we finish the initial training, you get to train them on what your expectations are and hold them accountable to those expectations.
So are these employees like W-2 employees? Do they function like a service provider? How does the provider basically compensate these folks that are working for them?
We send them an invoice monthly for the hours in which they worked in the provider. So when Nick goes into ABC Medical and wants to and works 40 hours a week, 168 hours a month, each week we'll send them a time acknowledgement, much like a time card, acknowledging, hey, they worked these hours 8 to 5, Monday through Friday. And then at the end of the month, once we collect all the hour, the time worked acknowledgements from the client, then we'll send them an invoice on a monthly basis.
Okay, so you guys have been in operation now several months. If I understand this correctly, you guys are taking this national now.
Yes, we have clients throughout the country, and the team will work the hours in which is directed by the client. So if somebody's in Central Time, they'll work Central Time Zone or Eastern Time Zone. We have folks in Hawaii Time Zone. So whatever time zone they're working, the team can work those hours. It's not an issue.
Oh, wow. What about training? What kind of skills do these team members have? And how do you get them up to speed in terms of, like, say, HME software systems, Medicare policy, you know, working with, say, one MAC or another? How does that all come together?
So the number one question I get in regards to training is, how is their English? And their English is spot on. They've been speaking English since they entered kindergarten. And then as soon as they graduate from high school, the majority of them have worked in call centers. And so they speak comprehend English very clearly. So that's kind of a prerequisite for joining our team, is that they've worked in the call centers for most of them. When they join our team, we have them start working with training videos with either Brightree or VGM training videos on the industry and on the software that they'll be using. And then after that, they're with a real life trainer, either in the intake or the billing aspect of the business. And they'll be with that trainer for about 2 to 3 weeks. And then the last 3 weeks, because their total training is about 4 to 6 weeks, they'll be with a mentor who's actually doing the day-to-day job with one of our HME branches.
And so I imagine that if a provider has, like, specific needs, then you guys can work with them to get somebody trained up in that regard?
Absolutely correct. And matter of fact, when we onboard a new client, we'll ask them to give a job description of what they're looking for this person to do, whether it's patient collections or posting or working prior authorizations. And then we will focus their training on that aspect of the job in the software that we're using.
Gotcha. Are there side benefits to this training process? Do you start to see, like, which team members in the Philippines might be good for one thing or another? Or maybe there's personality matches? You know, I don't know. I'm wondering if the training kind of helps you guys figure out good matches, you know, with one client versus another.
So we do a bit of a vetting process when we first bring them on board, and we identify in the first week what the aptitude is of the candidate. So we determine, are they going to be a good biller? Are they going to be a good intake, fax wrangler, et cetera, et cetera. So we try to do that in the first week, and then we place them in training for that specific job function, which doesn't mean they're stuck there forever. You may have somebody who has broken English and not a very good speaker of English language, but they're a phenomenal biller and they're very good at analytical skills and digging into the aging report. Then that's somebody we're going to put over there. Where on the other hand, if we have a very good speaker, we're going to put them on the operator role to where they can triage phone calls coming in from the public. So everybody's kind of put into that arena in which they seem to be successful. And that doesn't mean they're stuck there forever. They may have an interest in another job function, or they may have an interest in a different aspect of the business. Perfectly trainable folks.
Okay, so let's talk results. You've got some people in place. They've been working with clients. Obviously, you've been monitoring their performance. And, let's talk metrics. What kind of key performance indicators are these guys achieving?
So not only are you saving money as a business owner, but you're achieving a lot of KPIs that you normally wouldn't think would be possible with the remote team. We are achieving currently about 45 days DSO with the remote team. We have about a 1% held sales. And it has allowed us about a 79% collection ratio. And those are just a handful, the orders per day and things like that, that we've been able to achieve. And that was the proof for us when we first went remote, is the KPIs that we were able to not only maintain, but improve upon after they were onboarded. And now it's just been continuing.
Wow. Well, that's really solid. So what about employee longevity? You know, are these guys sticking around? You know, what's the... Because I would imagine that a lot of providers would be like, well, hold on, are these guys like as transitory as call center employees typically are? Do they see this as a career in the same way states-based billing professionals and you know, claims processing professionals might see it?
It's been a very reliable source of labor for us. We still have employee number one that we hired in December of 2016.
For your home oxygen business.
Yes. And she actually moved over to tactical back office and was placed with a client recently. Most of them have been with us for a very long time. We try to identify early on what they're looking for, and we try to put aspects of their benefits and pay to allow them to stay for a while and not leave for, you know, a minimal amount of pay. We also allow a lot of our folks to work from home, which is a benefit because there's some pretty heavy commutes in their hometown.
Oh,
so that is a benefit for folks where they can, you know, stay home with their family, work from home, which is exactly what we're doing in America, where we're allowing people to commute remotely via phone or internet and not having to commute to work and physically be there. And that has a big benefit on stability and allowing people to stay with tactical back office and stay with the client that they've been assigned to. So not much turnover at all. And in fact, we just did a analysis on that, and it was less than 5%.
What about data security? Are there concerns because the employee is overseas?
There is concerns from clients, and we send them a IT spreadsheet of all the measures that we've taken to secure the information coming across. And we have validated that information with some industry resources to assure that it is safe and HIPAA compliant.
Got it. And and I would imagine that a lot of these systems are cloud-based to begin with.
98% is on the cloud. However, there are some clients out there that use software-based systems that we remote into.
I would imagine that the measures that you guys have done to, you know, sort of assess your data security and everything, you know, they speak to that. They speak to both scenarios, really, the cloud-based scenario versus the remote-in scenario.
Yes. In fact, we've hired an IT security firm to assist us with data security and remain HIPAA compliant.
Another question I have is, what if a placement isn't cutting it? What if there's just not a match? They're not getting the provider's internal procedures, or maybe there's not a good personality match, you know, all the vagaries of human resources. What happens then?
That's a great question, because it's happened before, and you simply call us and say, it's not a good fit, and I would like to try somebody else. And we, the next day, try to we remove that person, and if we have somebody immediately to put back in there, we can do that. Or it might take us a week or two to identify a good fit. If you're a little gun shy at that point, then we can certainly schedule interviews, and you can interview some folks to see who is a good fit and who has the knowledge base that you're looking for that would work in your company.
Got it. So you guys are really kind of acting as the complete HR conduit.
We've owned a DME company for 12 years. We know what it takes to run a DME company. We know what it takes to have a successful workforce to achieve KPIs. And we know that you don't want anybody sticking around that isn't cutting it longer than they have to be there. So we try to be real easy to deal with, and we try to accommodate the need that they have.
So what do you say to providers who might have some trepidation about hiring somebody who's out of the country?
Give us a call. We'll talk it over. I'll try to address those issues, and I would suggest hiring somebody for a month and see what it's like. If you don't like it, then we'll stop. There's no long-term contracts. And I certainly don't want to hang around somebody who doesn't want us around and vice versa. But I would highly recommend trying it for a month and see what it's like, and start with something easy, you know, processing CMNs or a fax wrangler or something like that, that is easily attainable and can prove their ground. But, you know, if you don't try it, you'll never know.
So, and you know, circling back to once, you know, the providers tried this and they've got somebody, you know, handling CMNs or wrangling faxes or doing some of these other sort of rote, you know, tasks, you know, what does that mean for the other people that, you know, have been on their team for a while?
They can pay attention to the things that have been left aside, that have been ignored. They can focus on customer service. They can focus on their business. They can focus on their profitability. They can focus on so many other things other than the local personnel that they've been trying to keep and have not been able to. So it allows a lot more freedom to do that. Not to mention the benefits to your profit and loss are outstanding, especially in the next month or two. These are immediate savings that can occur, not something that's going to happen over a year or two. You're going to see it next month. And you're going to get a little bit of relief there as well.
Okay. Well, Todd, if a provider wants to get started talking to Tactical Back Office, what should they be doing?
They can contact us through our website, tacticalbackoffice.com, and just submit a little contact form, name, phone number, and email address. And it will be me contacting them to set up a discussion point to where we can talk about, flesh out all the details.
All right. Well, Todd, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thanks again to Todd at Tactical Back Office for telling us about what I think is a pretty creative solution to the high cost of HME human resources. And again, that web address is thetbo.com. That's thetbo.com. Alrighty, that'll close things up for episode 22. Don't forget to rate and review the HME Business Podcast. And please, if you haven't already done so, make sure to click the subscribe button so that you get every new episode. Remember, you keep listening and we'll keep posting. And if you want to stay on top of everything that's happening in the industry, make sure to check out hme-business.com and subscribe to eSource, our weekly e-newsletter service. And if you haven't done so, make sure to subscribe to the print magazine there as well. Again, that's hme-business.com. Of course, you can follow us on social media. We're at HME Business on both Facebook and Twitter, and I'm at Post Acute News on Twitter. Lastly, if you have any feedback, suggestions, or requests, don't be afraid to reach out to me via Twitter at Post Acute News. Again, that's at Post Acute News, or by email at DKO, P as in Paul, F as in Franklin, at 1105media.com. With that, we'll wrap things up for this episode. Thank you all very much for listening, and goodbye until the next HMEB podcast.